Good evening, Chicago. My name is Eric Rung. You are listening to 720 WGN, broadcasting from the greatest city in the world, Chicago, Illinois. And we have got a great show for you tonight. And with me is my good friend, Paul Lisnick. Paul, how are you?
Eric, I am great. This is fun. They letting us work together. Eric and I, longtime colleagues over at WGN on the TV side.
Right.
We should introduce ourselves. Not everybody may know what we do. I'm the political analyst over at WGN-TV. You, by the way, often fill in for my nightly show Politics Tonight.
But
they don't let me fill in for you.
Well, tonight we're going to be working together. I, as Paul said, do work over at WGN Television as a reporter and anchor. I also report and anchor here on 720 WGN. Now, Paul, we do have a jammed-packed show tonight, and our first guest is an excellent journalist. Her name is Candy Crowley.
A legend.
A legend in the broadcasting business, to say the least. Candy Crowley was the first host of State of the Union on CNN, their Sunday political talk show, as well as a longtime correspondent for CNN. Candy, how are you tonight?
I'm good, but you know, legend is really just another word for old.
Absolutely not.
Betty Davis is a legend. That never, you never wanted that said about you in Hollywood or on WGN. So just saying.
Well, I think it's just fair enough. Both Eric and I truly look up to your work. I cover politics, his reporting. Anyway, you're just kind of the you're just the guy that we work at. So thank you for joining us and letting us talk politics with you.
Oh, I'm always happy to talk politics, especially happy to talk to you all.
All right. Well, let's start off with Jamal Khashoggi and the latest on what's going on there. It's just it's a really sad story. He's the Washington Post journalist that went into the Saudi Arabia consulate in Istanbul. And word now is that Saudi officials have confirmed that he has been killed. I mean, just watching this story unfold, I can't imagine, especially as a journalist.
It feels personal. I didn't know Jamal at all. I know people who knew him and say he was lovely. Journalist trying to do his job, trying to speak truth to power, regardless of whether you think he was wonderful or horrible or whatever, is a guy on the job. And actually, he'd gone to the consulate in Istanbul to get some papers he needed for his marriage. And that was the way they got him in there, apparently. I mean, we all have to say allegedly in front of everything because we're not completely sure what happened, except for we know he's dead and we know he died inside the consulate. Now we're beginning to hear these kind of what sound to me like cover stories. Well, he died in a fight. Really? I mean, you know, I can't imagine a sane guy. Apparently, there were 18 people in there, according to all the reports we're saying.
Right, 18 people were arrested.
And so now we're to believe that this, you know, middle-aged columnist for the Washington Post, got into a fight with him and somehow died in. I mean, it's just everything about it stinks, but you're right, the top part is it's just tragic. And what's tragic is this kind of thing plays out in some of these oligarchies, and a lot of them, that without a name attached to it.
But you know, this
obviously,
sorry, Candy, so
is a name. And
so this is a worldwide event now, and it's got the attention of the entire world. But of course, our concern, looking at the United States and President Trump's reaction to this, and some would seem to suggest that by his actions, he's trying to buy time before we have to deal with it. He himself has said, you know, they're spending a lot of money in this country. I'm not going to turn down a great financial deal. What is your reaction to the notion of it's almost a balance or negotiation for him between financial stability, be it for the country or other purposes, and the fact that a journalist has been brutally murdered?
Right. Here's the problem with that. And there have been plenty of world leaders that the U.S. under various administrations has been warm to that had very questionable actions, that had very strong arm tactics. It's sort of the idea that human rights, and that certainly for the murder of a journalist would fall under that human rights violations should lead U.S. policy, or should it be a part of U.S. policy? Should it be a consideration? You're right. President Trump is a transactional guy. He wants to know what the deal is here. The Saudis are very important at this point to the Trump administration in terms of its peace, how it's looking at the Middle East right now. I mean, the Saudis are instrumental there. Forget the oil. forget all of that. If you look at the Middle East and the way it is, if the U.S., if there becomes a fissure between the U.S. and Saudi Arabia, do you know who steps in? The Russians. So yeah. there's a lot of people looking at this going, this is horrible, and what you want is someone to be outraged, and you want them to, you know, sanction the Saudis in some way, shape, or form. But this administration looks at it differently, and in the way some other administrations have, which is the deal is the deal. The Saudis are important to us. What do we do that keeps them in our corner and still satisfy the world that is outraged by this?
Candy, very briefly on this, if you're a journalist working in today, especially in other countries, how fearful should you be?
I think very, and I don't think it has, you know, to anyone's blame. I mean, I've known journalists that were killed over in Iraq covering that. I think it's a dangerous job, but it's a job, let's face it, that journalists take on willingly.
All right, our guest is Candy Crowley. We have to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk more about the state of journalism with Candy. That's right after these messages. And welcome back. I'm Eric Rung. With me is Paul Lisnick, and our guest for this half hour is Candy Crowley, longtime journalist for CNN. Candy, before we went to break, Paul asked you about how fearful journalists should be around the world. Taking that discussion a bit further here, just the state of journalism. We've seen a seismic shift recently with this Trump administration. Now that you have been out of broadcasting for a little bit and looking back in, what are your feelings on what you're seeing on television?
You know, it's strange because obviously a lot of people still reporting and doing things are friends who I think are great reporters and spot on. But I think as a generality, it's a brave new world out there. I'm not crazy about it, okay? I think it is too driven at this point that journalism, be it print, radio, TV, and online, is driven too much by things like Twitter or by, you know, things that go around on a blog. And so I remember even, you know, before I left, which was 2 years ago, I felt like I would spend half my day chasing after stories that turned out not to be true, but they popped up and got, you know, go viral on Twitter or go viral, you know, a picture that turns out not to be true on Instagram. We have not found a way to corral the power of the internet when it comes to the news. And I think it's why you see so much of that reflected in what people think about the news. They think it's all fake, and it's not. It's just without any kind of barometer, any kind of way to measure it. I think people are lost, and I think some journalists are lost at this point.
You know, Candy, as you watch the, as I'm sure you still do, White House press conferences, whenever they happen, the role of the press secretary, I mean, hey, listen, of course, any press secretary is going to defend their boss, the president. But that seems to be different now, too, because you as a reporter covering the White House, you need to be able to count on what the press secretary tells you as being the truth. What kind of environment are we in now on that front?
We're in a wholly different environment. It is not unusual. It is not unheard of for press secretaries to either lie or be out of the loop, okay? So I was at the White House covering it for, 5, 6 years for the AP. I did a little for the NBC and for CNN. And I can tell you that there were times when White House officials would look you in the face and tell you something wasn't happening when it was. So it is part of the job. We used to always argue at the White House when I covered it, wait a minute, taxpayer dollars are paying you. You should be out there every day talking to us, telling the American people what's going on. But in the end, you said it exactly, and that is she really works for the President of the United States. Anyone who goes up to the podium and that White House as the spokesman was working for the President of the United States. But it is as hostile as I've seen and as useless as I've seen. That's the problem, is that hostile is okay if you get anything out of it. But when was the last time you heard something at a White House briefing that was news? Not something outrageous said or some outrageous lie about, you know, whose heels were, you know, what Melania's shoes were when she went this or that way. But just a policy thing that came out of those briefings. Almost never. because it's so filled with hostility and the back and forth and getting the upper hand.
Oh, it's a lot of animosity. You can see that all over Capitol Hill for sure. As journalists in this brave new world that we're in, what are some things? And I, Candy, I've known you for several years, and I ask you these kinds of questions all the time. But as journalists, what should we be doing? What should we be looking for?
What we've always done, which is what's going on here? It's just such a basic question, and why is it going on, which often is more important than what. But, you know, it is, you know, the fundamentals of journalism, which is to, you know, find the facts and report the facts. That doesn't change. It's a fairly straightforward job. I think what's happened is that there are, look, I think the ratings have skewed sometimes what's reported on or how often it's reported on, because we know when audiences tune in. They tune in for calamities. They've tuned in for Donald Trump. When was the last time you all covered a midterm that was as covered and as watched as this one?
Every single dollar being spent is being monitored, too.
Right. Absolutely. So it's, you know, the news, unfortunately, to me, and I think to many others, follows the ratings instead of the other way around. And therefore, I think what we're seeing is that people are getting a lot of the news you might want to hear about because it's kind of fun, as opposed to, like, what do you need to know? Like, what do we spend our time on? And I think that there needs to be recalculation with that. But those ratings are what pay your salary, what paid my salary, and so I don't want to vote against, you know, capitalism and making money, but it has clearly skewed to me the news that's reported on. I don't think it's made the news unfactual so much as it has changed, like, how much time is spent on what subject.
I'm just curious, Candy. Do you look in, are you glad you got out when you did, or do you look and go, I wish I was back in this game?
The answer is yes, both.
Sometimes I think, it actually makes so perfect glad. Sense to me. It makes perfect sense to me.
Yeah, it's both. I mean, sometimes I think I just want to cover that story so badly, and other times I think, thank the good Lord, I am not there because I know exactly what's going on behind the scenes.
Well, Candy, I can't thank you enough. Our guest tonight, first guest, was Candy Crowley, longtime anchor and correspondent for CNN. And Candy, I know I've told you this privately many, many times, and for listeners just listening in, I was actually an intern with Candy Crowley way back in the 90s. And I know I've said this to you privately. I want to say it publicly, too. You are probably one of the biggest reasons that I am standing behind a microphone at WGN. So, again, thank you so much.
I think you're the biggest reason. But, Rungi, it's always nice to talk to you.
Oh, you call him what I do. I love it.
And, Paul, it was good to talk to you as
well. You
as well,
Candy. You're the best.
All right. Have a great night.
You too.
And we'll be right back.
Golden Talon is in there.
Who?
The costume glam band who sing mostly about birds of prey. They started without.
Damn it, I lost track of time meditating.
Medicating?
I wish.
Wait, they're rolling in the... You can't have me! You can't have me!
No, man, he just ruined that take!
Nah, I think you guys ruined that take.
Oh, you're him. Hey, did you think any of that sounded good?
Whoa, interesting. You know, I wouldn't say I subscribe to the classical definitions of good and evil, but if I had to classify your guys' music, I'd say it was evil. Pure evil.
That's exactly what we were going for.
Oh, tremendous.
No, it's not. We're about positivity. You f***ing loser don't get it. I gotta get the f*** out of here.
Hey, thanks, man. It's an honor to be
here. Oh, yeah, my pleasure. I can do that all day. Yeah. Oh, man, does anyone in here make coffee?
All right. Welcome back. You were just listening to a clip from Studio B. It's a new web series. It's three episodes. We've got some of the creators as well as the actors here joining us in studio. Julie Nichols, Marcel Wilkes, TJ Jagodowski. TJ, tell me your last name.
It's Jagodowski.
Woo. One more time.
Jagodowski.
All right. And then Max Thompson. Thank you guys so much for joining us. And Paul, you've seen all of these episodes, huh?
I have. So here's the deal. So this is a new web series called Studio B, and I've interviewed these guys on my WGN podcast called Behind the Curtain. And so it was so great to be able to bring you guys here. I look at Max and all I can see is intern in my face. Over there. I will explain that. But the longest serving intern in the world. But anyway, so if you're a fan of mockumentaries, if you're a fan of The Office, if you're a fan of all the Christopher Guest movies. This is kind of what you guys are doing. You're creating it. It's going to premiere Monday. I did kind of tease it earlier saying that we're inviting everybody who's listening to come to a party. I hope that was okay, Joel.
Absolutely. All right. It's open to everybody.
We're
going to
explain that. Yeah, there's that's real. There really is the opening party. But then it's going to be, you'll be able to see this. It's free. It's going to be online. We'll tell you where you can see it. But first, let's kind of talk about what this is all about and what created it. And Julie B. Nichols, as well, I know
you
love that B, don't you?
I live by the B. Yeah.
I hear you. I so many do. So you and TJ, and also a guy named Billy, who's not with us here, was on the podcast. You guys have been sort of creating all this. So give us a little bit of history of what led you to create this new version of a mockumentary that takes place in a music studio.
You know, both Billy and I specifically have been working in comedy and theater and music for our whole careers.
You were Second City.
I was Second City. I was the music director on main stage at Second City for 4 years, and I loved it, and it was great, and it was a really great hybrid for me of theater and comedy and music. I feel like I'm a musician first, and then I get to, you know, work in comedy and do that stuff, and the recording studio is my happy place. It's my favorite place to be in the world. I think a lot of musicians feel that way. So to be able to make something that, like, you know, brought those worlds together and could bring the audience into the recording studio was something we really wanted to do.
And TJ, in setting this up, of course, you know, again, it's set, it's kind of like The Office, but it's a music studio, which means every week or every episode, we get to have a new kind of music, a new flavor. And you also have incredible characters. I'm sorry, I keep looking at Max because he plays the lifelong intern. The man will never be anything but an intern in life. I'm sorry. Not you.
Hey,
not you.
I was just about to say, I'm not getting you any coffee. Yeah.
But
I clocked out.
But TJ, from what I understand, that Max character of the intern, that's real. Like, those guys exist.
Yeah, those people populate those rooms. And as you were saying, with it taking place in a recording studio, the option for a lot of different variety of genre was one of the first things that we had kind of talked about in the room too, of what type of music, what type of musicians can populate these people while you have that background of a steady cast to be there, Max included.
There's an endless possibility of different sorts of musicians and artists and weirdos that come in and out of the, I mean, it's a yes. daily thing, right? You know, every day in the studio is a different artist.
Well, tell us a little bit about the characters. Obviously, if it kind of follows The Office, we got to know and love all of those characters so much. So tell us a little bit about the different characters that are involved here.
We've got TJ's character, Peter Push Watts.
Yeah, a fellow who's had a bit of a tough background and is now trying to get his feet back on the ground a bit.
Yeah, got myself, Max, who's an intern that would love for somebody to sign him and is looking for love.
Asia Martin, the head engineer, and Tien, who is the idiosyncratic, I guess, is the kindest way to put her personality and her interests.
Avant-garde kind of artist.
But then we have, like, Marcel. You are a performer. I smile here. You're a performer one of the episodes. Because I know you're right. Get to me. There are there's three episodes so far. So there's in every episode kind of the music star of that episode. You are one of them, and I know you're going to do some stuff for us a little bit later. But I just got such a kick out of your music. So I'll ask you: Did Julie, who wrote the song that you were dealing with, if you can call it a song?
I could not.
Oh, I'm sorry. Was that mean?
Paul, wow. I couldn't. I mean, in my real life, I couldn't be that whack if I wanted to be. I have to give that to that nod. To Julie, and I think Ryan and Billy, I feel like all of y'all kind of came up with that, right?
Yeah.
But I was so down to be that guy, though, because I know so many MCs, including myself, that are like that, to be honest. Like, you know, you're in your own world, and artists are like that, right? It's so self-absorbed, and they get to this level where they're a little out of touch.
There's a lot of news people like that, too, by the way.
Symbiotic, right? Like, it all, like, fuses and cross-pollinates.
You just said, Marcel, it took four of us to come up with a song that bad.
They did. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do that to y'all.
I started. Well, Julie, so I made fun of it, and I know our listeners haven't heard the song, but it's a funky kind of a thing.
Honestly, the direction that was given to me by the director, Billy, was make the most minimal, like, empty kind of worst beat you can. And I was like, check. Not gonna be a problem. And it worked out great.
But, it was so
but the
sweet.
Truth is, in, for example, episode 3, there's a song. It's a beautiful song. I mean, it's not consistent because the whole point is sometimes the music is the focus where you want to be able to like download that song.
Yeah, and you'll be able to.
Oh, smart thinking.
Yes, all the music is available, will be available on iTunes for the original Studio B soundtrack.
Yes.
So all of it will be out there. But yeah, that the song in episode 3 is a special song.
Hey, TJ, where does this get filmed?
Oh, we shot it over at Optimus. Thanks to like some friends and availability over there, we were able to treat one of their kind of fallow recording studios as our own set. So we got to get in there early, decorate it, dress it all out, and call in a ton of favors. We borrowed soundboards. Mm-hmm. Our phenomenal DP Steve Delahoyd worked for next to nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing. Mm-hmm. Next to nothing.
We had an amazing crew of people who were very generous with us, and Optimus was at the top of that heap.
Our guests are from Studio B. They have a web series that is coming out. We have some of the creators here as well as some of the actors. Now, you guys said you worked in, that was your safe place, was the recording studio. So how much of this is just real life that you guys dealt with?
My safe place is a bakery. I wouldn't claim that my safe place, or a tub, maybe.
Definitely.
Julie's safe place is the recording studio.
Filled with bakery items.
And bubbles.
Bubbles and donuts and things.
And pound cake.
I mean, all of it. Between myself and Billy and also Marcel, who's also spent a lot of time in a recording studio, it's pretty much all real. It's all drawn from something real.
Is it ad-lib, though? How much of this, you know, Larry David, of course, starts with a rough script and but it's, or an outline, and so much of it's ad-libbed. It's hard for me to tell.
The cool thing about working with Billy is, I mean, at least I can speak for me, is I like to surprise him as I'm doing something. And then, because if I tell him, hey, I'm going to do this, I'm probably going to get shut down. So it's easier to just say.
Just do it.
Yeah.
And ask for forgiveness later.
And generally, if it's cool, it'll probably get up in there. And like, mm-hmm. that's the cool thing about all of us working together is you're able to like have that freedom within that character. I mean, you got what they need, and then you get that freedom.
Yeah, and I use the euphemism surprise for I can't remember any of my damn lines.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And that happened. We had a lot of surprises.
Surprises.
Well, that's what makes it fun, though, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah,
you guys, it seem like you're going to, this is, you guys are all having a good time together, and that's what this is all about, and that's where this comedy is coming from.
And all of us come from an improvisational background in mm-hmm. one way or another. Music mm-hmm. improvisation and rapping and freestyling. Max is an amazing improviser. TJ is an incredible improviser. So we put all those people in a room together, and it's just going to be, it was very free and easy. You know?
Is it appropriate to have Max go get us coffee during the break when that comes up?
Absolutely.
So down. I know he won't do it, but
hey, you may find love. I mean, you're looking for love.
You don't know about the coffee machine, Max.
Going to be out there.
You know how many people are out in the coffee machine?
No.
You got a mind reader sitting behind you, I can tell you that.
Is there really a coffee machine out there?
Okay. See, now Marcel wants coffee.
All right, we're going to have more from the creators and actors in Studio B coming up right after a break.
Tomorrow,
the time draws closer. What happens in this dramatic story of the Northwestern Wild?
I don't know. Before we went to break, you guys said it took four of you to come up with a bad song. That was pretty. That was pretty dang good.
That's a pretty song.
That's beautiful.
Oh, thank you. Four for a bad song. Only one for a good song.
Our guests in studio tonight are the creators and actors in Studio B. It's a new web series. And where can people find this?
People can find this at www.studiobseries.com, which is a website that is live now. And the episodes will be live starting at 10 p.m. on this coming Monday, October 22nd. It will also be available on YouTube and Vimeo, so you have all of your platforms to go check it out.
And TJ, so I've seen there's three episodes. I've mm-hmm. watched them all. You were kind enough to let me do that. I'm kept it secret because they're not public yet. But that being said, my guess is you all want to create more.
Oh, yeah. That's the idea. Well, no, I just wanted to do three. Whatever happened.
Some people go nine seasons. I go three episodes.
Yeah, right. I prefer to be. I'm like a personal BBC series of like I just do yes. three, then I'm done, and we're done forever
until you jump the shark. Then
yes.
it's all over.
Right. That would be ideal. And you were saying before, like the situations under which this was able to happen was ideal. It was done here in Chicago with friends, with heavy elements of improvisation, with like the ability to be goofy, but also make like a beautiful song as well. Like you didn't you. you could do both and do it with friends too. So it would be ideal if we were able to do more of these.
I just want to point out, obviously, you guys are great actors, because I did ask Max to bring us all coffee since he's the intern in the show. During the break, he never got out of his chair. Now, true actor. You pay me if you think I'm bringing you
That's
coffee.
Right.
Hey, Marcel. So you actually, Marcel Wilkes, you are actually well known. You are not just, so to speak, an actor. You actually are a musician. You've been heard all over the world. People know you as Mr. Greenweeds.
Yeah.
And so, as I said, you do kind of this fun song within the show itself, which people will see. But you've agreed to do a little kind of little demonstration for us now, because the people who are fans of yours may be listening in right now. So give
maybe
us
maybe listening.
I know, well, I know they're listening, and I'm sorry.
They might, maybe a couple of them.
Well, Eric's into like the old classical stuff. But anyway, so can you? I understand you can do a little beatbox, a little something for us.
Can I can
you?
Rhyme. Oh. I can kick some rhymes.
Take it, Marcel. Yeah. Go yeah. for it.
Why don't
go
you freestyle a little bit about the studio?
I'm down. Let's go. Pump me up in my ears. You know what I'm saying? Give me a little something, Paul. Mm. Yes, y'all. Let us all just start to begin. I'm kicking fresh rhymes with WGN. For all of y'all know, cause it's all kismet. For my DJ, his name is Paul Lisnick. We got a little something when we kick it down the alley. Sip a little wine from Napa Valley. I gotta kick it every time the fresh MC, the whack one in the studio B. I got Christian, listen to Jacob. Make this rhyme that you just make up. Yo, we gotta take it, the actors back to tractor. Get it down, yo, I gotta measure like protractors. Green is fresh, and yo, I'm deaf. Yo, check the three, because yeah, I'm real yeah. fresh. Yo, I gotta kick it down, cause give me a pickle. It's got flavor, just like Julie B. Nichols. What? If you wanna get down, yo, the DJ yeah. will say that he's fresh just like TJ. Ooh. I fax, and then I just wanna just max and tax, and just fresh with my main man Max. With three of us, four of us, three Virgos. Yo, that is my astrologer, Go-Go. When I kick it, I don't wanna kick real dope, but I wanna be fresh like cup of cocoa. Oh. A man just come when I see us as Laridan. And yo, I gotta stay up just up in the Sheridan. The rhyme is so fresh when I come with the Foracle. But yo, I be the fresh one, MC Oracle. Mm. Episode 2 for you and your crew. For all of us down, but it's up to you.
Let's
now
go.
This is this answer, but this is a question. Yo, Julie, throw me a suggestion.
Okay, Max, go give him a word.
Where's the word? Let me see. Chicago
is the town that I be from. I be wearing double RL, no bum. Yo, I'm in polo, yo, ooh. I go solo, yo, I just play instruments oboe. Yo, I bust through the line like I am Bono's. If you wanna kick the man, cause I got it so dope. Mr. Greenweeds, come here and I hope. Yo, I just came in and I had to take a shower using some Caress soap. Yo, throw me another suggestion.
Green.
This is a question.
Green, talk
yo.
About Bronzeville.
That's let just where I live. But I shouldn't everybody, cause I came to chill. One still out there in Bronzeville. When you wanna see the man, cause I got fresh styles. Perpendicular to the street called Giles. Oh. You better stand there because I just a swing. Brought me a jerk catfish from Jerk King. Yo, I came out here to just watch we throws. And you'll be smelling defeat like Cheetos. So I just wanna show y'all and I thug. And yo, I be the plug. I hit a lick.
Lick, lick, lick.
I hit a lick. Lick, lick, lick. I hit a lick, 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 lick. I hit a lick. Who got another one for me? Yo, what you gotta say, Paul? Tell
Hamilton.
Me. Yo, Hamilton's a thing. And yo, it's just a play, but I did not see. If you wanna just come here, be the MC. Yo, I gotta get down. He's making my B3. Yo, I came out here when you say as you say. Now it's just praying on the Oriental Broadway. Yo, I just be stutter. But that's all cool, because I just make sure I'm just butter. I hit a lick.
Lick, lick, lick.
Marcel, really?
Applause,
Marcel.
All right, second verse, Eric. It's all yours.
Okay. Yeah. One, two,
give
three,
two, they're full.
Yeah, go ahead, Eric.
Second verse.
We'll give Eric a word.
First verse.
The second verse.
That was a first.
Whoa.
This is a long.
I mean, honestly, no. I know we're on the radio, but he was looking at stuff in the studio.
Not a note. Not a note.
No.
No.
And just going off on it. Have you always been able to do that?
Maybe about 28 years. I felt okay.
You're just lucky you didn't throw the word orange at you.
I would have been cool. I would have threw something like
they say nothing rhymes with orange. I don't know.
Orange. I would have flipped I would have did that iambic pentameter or something.
That's right. That's right. Go ahead, Sashay.
Hey,
go ahead.
Hey, Julie, I promised everybody a party, and they might think I was kidding. I was not kidding.
No, not a joke at all.
Tell us about the party.
We have to find a way to get you to freestyle at the party.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
I'm sure that's not going to be difficult.
Yeah, no. You're going to really have to twist his arm, I'm sure.
I know.
And you'll pull Eric up on stage, will you?
Yes.
I'll be ready. For the second verse.
I'll be ready. Yeah.
I won't do it unless Eric comes up on stage.
And that's he has to go for as long as Marcel did.
Oh, I love it.
Not a problem.
I'm buying tickets to that.
We're having a party on this coming Monday night, October 22nd. It's at the Joinery in Logan Square. Cocktails at 5 p.m., screening at 7 p.m.
We've got some great sponsors, Dollop, Tito's,
Temperance,
Old Style, Temperance. They're all sponsoring. There'll be some free beverages. You just have to register.
Everything's
right?
free. Just go to the website and register for the event.
And the website again?
www.studiobseries.com. Go there and register for the event.
Guys, I can't wait to watch it. Thank you guys so much for coming in. Thank you for the rhymes.
We love you, all of you guys.
Thank you.
Yeah,
that was excellent. Appreciate all y'all.
We'll be right back on 720 WGN. Some very fitting music for our next guest. Thank you so much for listening. 720 WGN broadcasting out of the greatest city in the world, Chicago, Illinois. I'm Eric Rung, and with me is my good friend, Paul Lisnick.
Eric, you know what I'm thinking?
That we have an amazing guest coming.
That's not what I'm thinking.
Oh.
But I know who does know what I'm thinking. our next guest is a mind reader. See, that he knows what we're thinking. Oh, yeah, he told me what you're thinking. His name is Mark Tolan, and I saw this guy at first. He performs. It's over at the Greenhouse Theater on Lincoln Avenue, and only a couple of weeks left for that, October 24th and on Halloween. But you'll also catch him at the Magic Lounge when he's booked to be over there. But he's incredible. He's been on NBC and Fox and WGN, our station, and NPR, ABC. So, and his performance just won a Chicago Theater Award. He is a mind reader, and although I still think I figured
he's looking at me weird,
I invited him in tonight, Mark, because I expected tonight you would tell Eric and I exactly how you do it.
Ooh, pressure. That's the one question I can't answer.
Oh no.
I'm out of a job. No one would come see me.
Let me think about it. Hold on. Let me try to just
yeah, if Eric can guess it, then it's kind of a two-way street.
Well, here's the thing. Fun. I want people, why don't you tell the listeners? I mean, because when you've got an audience in front of you, look, I saw you once. You pulled me out of the audience. You didn't know who I was. You told me my birth date. Talk about what it is you do in your act.
So I am an entertainer first and foremost. So I'm not psychic. I'm not a medium or anything like that, but my genre of performance is mentalism or mind reading. So it's kind of like magic for adults, psychological illusions. And the point of what I do really is that it's kind of a communal, interactive, inclusive experience. So anyone in the audience at any moment could be pulled on stage, and I'm going to tell them what they're thinking. So the show starts kind of slow, intentionally, to ease people into it. I guess like a simple number, or maybe a simple word from a book, or just something that someone thinks of, like a picture or something. Just keep it real basic, and then we turn a corner. I start guessing birthdays and names of loved ones and destinations people went for trips and memories. And next thing you know, like, it's gone off the deep end, and it's intentionally designed that way to sucker people in and feel comfortable. Like, oh, this is not what I expected. It's not weird to go up on stage, and then it turns a corner and starts to get strange and bizarre, but by that point they're too far in and they want to take part, and hopefully they leave there with something super memorable. The whole show is designed to be a mystery too, so I swear the audience to secrecy. I don't let anyone leave talking about it, because the point is that you got to come and see it. So since I deal with mystery as a genre and also keep the show a mystery, it's kind of got this nice aura of, you know, intrigue surrounding it, so people are kind of curious and want to come and see it.
And of course, my first question is that Eric and I, relatively, I guess, smart people, we would sit there and watch you, as I did, and spend our entire time trying to figure out how you're doing what you're doing. And that's what people do, right?
Yeah, sure. There's like three groups of people. There's people who are convinced everything I do is real on one end, and no matter how much I say, like I just did, that I'm a skeptical person, I'm not really psychic, I'm an entertainer, I'm using psychological and magical methods to achieve all this, they will believe it. Then there's people on the other end, maybe like yourselves, who want to work it out and know that everything's got some kind of method or trick behind it, and they need to know. And then there's people in the middle who are kind of on the in-between. Maybe some of it's real, maybe some of it's suggestion, maybe some of it's psychology, and maybe some of it's illusion. They're not sure. So there's good overlap. I think that three facets of an audience kind of make it the show that it is. If everyone was a believer, it'd be weird. If everyone was trying to work it out, that's no fun. So you get this overlap of people kind of cynical, skeptical, and then people who are willing to participate. It makes it, you know, different for me each night and really exciting.
Mark Tolan is our guest. He is a mind reader. And Mark, when did you kind of work this into your act?
You know, I'm from a small town in the Midwest. I'm from Kansas. We were just talking to Eric, and I are both from the Midwest originally, Kansas and Iowa. And you know, I grew up doing sleight of hand, card tricks, and things like that. I grew up from a very small town, and so that was my hobby early on. But I was always drawn to theater. I was always on stage, and always into psychological stuff. So I was a big fan of Sherlock Holmes, Hardy Boys. Detective work, all that good stuff. I was drawn to that, and I think that led me to mentalism, in turn to doing the mind reading I do now. So I do this show here in Chicago in corporate events, but I only work exclusively as a mind reader, so that I'm dealing with people's thoughts, very interactive sort of thing.
And before we brought you on air here today, you had me think of a name. So explain a little bit what's going on here.
Okay, so yeah, so you guys were like, want to try something? We're limited time. I gave you a piece of paper, asked you to write down a name of someone, so we have proof. What really helps me here is you're committed to this piece of paper, right? That you have a name in mind, but you're committed, so you can't change from
right.
whoever you're thinking of. Be honest, you have the piece of paper, like you tucked in a pocket or
yep,
something, right?
It's in my yours. Pocket.
I haven't seen it. You didn't show it to me
nope,
or anything like that.
You can't okay? see it.
Secondly, you have not told me this name.
No. Nope.
You haven't told Paul this name.
No, I don't know.
No one in here can know this, right?
No.
And third, we've never met before.
Never.
So when I said hello, literally 5 minutes before we came on air, that was the first time we met because you had other guests when right. I arrived. You were talking to other people. Okay, so all I know about you is you're Iowa. And here's something else I know that maybe you didn't realize. If you were listening to the last half hour, there was a guy doing freestyle. And he said, we got three Virgos in the room. You lit up. I think we have four Virgos in the room. I think you're a Virgo.
Nailed it.
Yes, you are. Absolutely. So he lit up when he did it, and I'm over here sitting watching. Wait,
Virgo or Virgo.
Oh, Virgo. Oh, okay.
Easy.
So that's August. Yeah, so that's August or September for him. I've narrowed it down just by sitting over there watching earlier. I was watching Eric because wow. I met Paul, I guess, his birthday right. on stage. But for you, Virgo right away. So where you're from Iowa originally. Give me a hobby outside of radio and outside of everything here. What's a hobby that you enjoy doing?
What should he say it?
Yeah, you can tell me. I just need to know a little bit more about you. So what's something you enjoy doing for fun?
Reading.
Oh, so indoor, kind of introspective personal situation. Virgo,
kind of dorky, actually.
You'd be more in September, probably the middle of the month, something like that, right?
Yep.
September.
Drum roll.
15th?
No way!
Is that right?
That is incredible.
To be honest, you didn't write that down. You didn't tell me. There's no way I can know.
I don't even think Paul knew.
Okay, I did not know. Good. No, I didn't know his birthday.
That's
now, how
true.
Much? How much does he make?
Oh, yeah. We won't get into that. Less than Paul, probably. So think of this name, then. So Virgo, think of this name. You would probably think of a close friend. I'm going to say maybe someone important to you like that. Probably a man. I'm on the right track there.
Male.
Okay, is the guy's name? Is
that would
it,
be
is
a man,
it,
Eric?
Oh, is it a family man? A family member?
Yes.
Oh, okay, it just feels like a friend, like you're super close with this person or something in that sort of way. I wonder what that is. So think about this name. Imagine you were telling it to me. Don't move your mouth. Don't wiggle fingers or anything. Don't give me any clue. It's a shorter name. I know that right away. So it's four or five letters. Because as you're saying it in your mind, at least you're going through it very quickly. It's also like a nickname or shortened version of a name. So it's like something that's shorter or abbreviated.
I think I'm giving it away every time you guess something. I keep smiling.
You're a reporter. Cover it up.
All right. Guy, Walt or Will or something like that.
It's Will.
Very
good. It's my nephew, Will.
Oh, it's
that
your nephew.
Is wow. unbelievable. And I pulled out the piece
connection.
Of paper.
It's a younger bond with someone. Yes, very
yeah.
good.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, he said it. Paul, you can.
Yeah, it's Will.
Very good.
That's
that
the
was
name
in your
sheet.
That was in your pocket. You haven't taken it out till now.
Not till right
very
now.
Good. Now, does Will. Everybody write the name Will down? Is that how you.
That's amazing. I just always guess Will. It hits one in 1,000 times usually. So.
So, you know, I remember my. This right? It's stunning.
That's incredible. The birthday thing blew my mind.
And now I got to get you a gift next year. The night that I saw you, and it was opening night, and I don't know if you remember this, but there was a woman that you called on, and you asked her, think of a word with like four letters or five letters or something like that, and she couldn't do it. I'm not going to say anything, but she couldn't come up with it.
Right.
And I thought, oh, Mark, just move on to somebody else. You like stayed with her, and you forced her. You can come up with a word. And then eventually she did, and eventually you guessed it. But do you get nervous or freaked out that you're doing this?
Yeah, so I think the thing you're talking about is actually the reverse of mind reading, because the show's split in half. The first half of the show is taking thoughts out of minds. The second half is sending a thought.
Yeah, that's right.
So that's what I was trying to do, was try and communicate an idea to this lady. And the reason I always choose a specific person for that thing. And so I felt good about this lady because I thought, not that she's coercible in a bad way, but I thought she was suggestible in the way I needed to achieve that, right? That's why I stuck with her for so long, because since she was struggling and since she was kind of succumbing to the pressure of that moment, I thought maybe I could implant this word and get her to think of it. So sometimes it takes longer. I mean, that's the cool thing about what I do at the live show. But yeah, that's what that is about. That's the other half of my skill set, because I can't tell you the future or talk to the dead. Well, I just read mine.
We're going
to
do more stuff. If you want to call in and ask Mark a question, you can call at 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. Maybe he can, I don't know, maybe do some magic stuff.
We'll do some more mind reading, yeah. Dang it. Yeah. All right, our guest is Mark Tolan. He is a mind reader. We'll have more after this.
Got my mind set on you. Got my mind set on you. But it's going to take money.
Welcome back, 720 WGN. I'm Eric Rung. With me is Paul Lisnick, and our guest is Mark Tolan. He is a mind reader, and he just read my mind. He knew my birthday. He picked a name that I wrote on a card that he didn't see. It was amazing.
Amazing. And he told me some other stuff about you during the break that I'm not even going to tell you.
Well, it's probably not safe for radio. All right. So, if he's reading my mind.
I tell you, Mark, you've been on NBC and WGN, mainly WGN. That's the key one that you're always on. Right. Because that's us. But you've been on Fox and ABC, and you've won the Chicago Theater Award. People can catch you on October 24th and Halloween over at the Greenhouse Theater on Lincoln, so they don't want to miss that. But talk about the mystery show that you do, because it's kind of a secret invite-only thing.
So I've been living in Chicago since 2011, and every year I've tried a little run of shows. So sometimes it was a month, 6 weeks, a week. This year it was 6 months was the goal, and we've been selling out for most of the summer, which is very exciting. I won the theater award and all that. But in between those runs, I started doing a thing maybe 18 months ago that is called The Mystery Show. And The Mystery Show is a secret invite-only pop-up show. My mind reading show. It's a different venue. It's invite only, so I announce it to my mailing list maybe 10 days out, sell tickets, 40 people or something, and it's usually a new show. So I put together something new for it. It's maybe every four to 5 weeks. Next year, I'm going to go back to doing that now that the run of shows is ending on Halloween. I'm going to go back to the secret show. The cool thing about it is you never know where it's going to be. Sometimes I have opening acts or maybe like a band or, some kind of guest that's going to perform before the show or make it, you know, more of an experience.
So people can go to your website and get their name on that list.
Yeah, sign up on the list. It's at the footer of my site, and that's the best way to do it because I'll announce those in 2019.
And the website is marktolan.com.
Marktolan.com, that's it. Okay.
And if you want Mark to read your mind, we are taking phone calls. The number is 312-981-7200 if you want Mark to read your mind.
So, Mark, you gave me this during the break. You handed me a die. Was it one die, right? Two dice, one die.
One die.
And I can tell you it's a normal die. There's nothing unusual about it and stuff. So what do you want me to do with it?
So this is good because this is something I do all the time, kind of test conditions, right? Okay. I know people who are listening can't see the studio, but there are a lot of obstructions between us. You're behind a screen here and there's stuff. So even if I wanted to see this die, which I cannot right now.
No, I can't see it either.
And also, I'm going to have you hide it under your hand so you know. But confirmed it's got all the numbers from 1 to 6
yep.
on the table. So there's
it's
no
got a
doubt
seven
about
on here
this.
Too. No, I'm kidding.
All right, on the table, turn it to any number you want. That'll be your number. So don't roll it in case you think I can hear it or it's weighted. Okay. Turn it to a number of your choosing, 1 to 6. We're going to try this 3 times. It's kind of test conditions, and this is one of the things I was talking about on the show where I kind of ease in. This is me trying to just get a read. So Paul,
I've done that.
If I remember correctly, you're a Gemini.
That's correct.
Okay, yep. So imagine for me this number like you were going to keep it at the back of your mind.
Okay.
Imagine counting out loud from 1 up to 6.
Mm-hmm.
Now do that for me out loud.
Out loud?
Yeah.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
So see, Eric, I'm trying to listen to one number that jumps out as opposed to the other 5.
Right.
That's the initial test here. I don't think it was a 6. 1, 2, 3, 4, 3. 3, perhaps. Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Wow.
To the 3.
So do it again. Do it again. And this time, we'll have you say nothing out loud. So new number, any number you like.
Any number I want.
And again, just
can
for
I
the
make
listeners.
It a random number?
Yeah, a random number. Yeah. Okay. As long as you know what it is. If you don't know what it is, I can't guess it. So,
gotcha. Okay.
You know, do you have something?
I'm going to change. Okay.
Okay. So the point here is I can't see it. You've got it covered.
Right.
And I'm just going to look at you this time. So nothing out loud. Just imagine sending me the number. So this is mentally sending it to me. Okay.
I'm doing that.
6 that time. Is that right?
Yeah.
Very good. Last time, I'll take off my glasses. Everyone's always suspect of the glasses.
Now, I'm going to give Eric the die because
let's see if he can do it. I'll look the other way. I was going to look away from you. I'll look away from Eric.
You might have put a plant on me earlier. You know, I don't know.
That's true. We've been working on this all summer.
Right.
Eric, new number. Turn it to any number. And this time, Eric, say nothing out loud. And I'll close my eyes. I'm looking the other way. For listeners, I'm looking away from any windows or reflective surfaces. Do you have the die on the table? Do you have some kind of number? Is it covered?
I do.
Okay, so imagine this number like you were shouting it at me. Don't actually shout it. That's not mind reading. That's
great radio that is.
Okay.
He's contemplating.
Over and over in your mind, over and over, like you were going to send it. It's a 2. Is that right?
Dang, you got it again.
Very good.
You know, maybe if you guys want to try where nobody's in the room with him.
Oh. Right. Oh, we could give it to Roger Battish. He's in the newsroom.
You can see me up in the little square if you point him to the
monitor. Oh, yeah, there he is. You can see him in the newsroom. We can play that.
Hi.
We got a
hi, Roger. Hi.
Roger, ooh. You want to run in here and grab the die?
No, let's do the opposite. Let's do the opposite with Roger.
Oh, we're going to play with Roger.
Roger,
okay.
Wave at me one more time so I can see you. You hear me okay?
Yeah, I can hear you.
So, Roger, here's the deal. In my show, I do two things. So I do what I just do with Paul, which is trying to take a thought out of mine. I'd love to see, and this if this doesn't work, this is all on me here, but this is kind of what Paul was talking about. Send you a thought.
You're going to send me a thought?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So I brought a pack of cards. This was for something else, but I'll try this with you instead.
All right.
During the break, I slipped this under the table, and I turned a card over in the pack.
Okay,
it's a card I have in mind. What I feel is a psychologically appealing card that I think I can get you to guess.
Seven of diamonds.
No. We'll do it in steps. It's not the seven of diamonds.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, okay.
Hold on, Roger. Hold on. Steps.
Relax, Roger. Saying.
That's just luck.
This
That's
is art. Luck. This is art here.
So, Paul. Roger, sorry. Yeah. Roger, this is in steps. So not seven of diamonds, and kind of wipe that away from your mind. Because maybe that's the first card people say, or ace of spades, or queen of hearts, or whatever, right?
All right.
Just for me now... Just think about the color of the card. So it's red or black. I'm going to try to communicate one of those to you, justify how I'm saying it. So it's either a red card, a bright color card, or a darker color, a black card. Do you think it's red, or do you think it's black?
Well, the first thing that flashed into my mind was, and I don't know if it's because you used the word first, but right before you said red, I was thinking red.
Okay, very good. So stick with red. So we'll do heart or diamond. It's up to you. Do you think it's a heart, or do you think it's a diamond?
Well, I'm a little hazy on it, but I'll lean towards the diamond.
Lean towards the diamond. So we're headed back to that seven of diamonds. Interesting. Okay. Do you think it's a low card, ace up to seven, or do you think it's a high card, eight on up to king?
Using ace as the low card.
Yeah, we'll play ace as low.
Ace to seven or eight to king. Think a little harder.
We're off the top of the hour, Roger.
Yeah, I know. I'll go higher.
Higher. Okay, so that's 8, 9, 10, Jack, Queen, King. Up to you now. We're away from that 7 of diamonds. But what is it? It's a name of value. It's a diamond. What is it?
I'll go Jack.
Jack of diamonds.
Yeah.
Now, that came to you in steps. So you got to agree it's not the 7 of diamonds. You blurted out right away. This was in steps, and you kind of intuited that.
Yeah.
Listeners can't see this. All I can see is you up on the tiny square on the screen.
And He's in a completely different room.
Met.
Right.
We actually have not met. Maybe I'll meet you after this. So this is... I really kind of hear your voice, and there's a bit of a delay, honestly, so I'm trying to make sure this is right. Jack of Diamonds. I will show the guys here. I don't know if you have video feed of this, but I'll show the guys.
All right.
They will confirm. They will confirm. So here's the deal. Right. In the deck.
He's opening a box of cards now. A deck of cards.
Yeah, I'll open this here. And make sure I get them all out, and it's all fair. In the deck, there are a bunch of cards in here, and there's one card in the middle, which I will show the guys.
All right.
Card in the middle.
Oh, I see it.
Facing the other way.
Yeah. Oh, it's facing the other way?
Facing the other way.
All right.
Can I see that okay?
Well, talking to the mic.
Right,
talking to the mic.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's one card facing the other way right now. I'm trying to show them and talk at the same time.
They're all facing up except for one.
Again, Roger, you said seven of diamonds first. You changed your mind the last second. This all came to you in steps.
Yeah.
You changed it to
the Jack of Diamonds.
I'll show them right here. That's the one card.
Woo! Jack of Diamonds.
Nailed it.
There it is right there, Roger.
Jack of Diamonds.
All right. So that was the one that was flipped over the other way?
Yes.
That was the one.
Yes.
Oh,
good job, Roger.
You nailed it, Roger.
Good job.
All right. We got a couple of calls that we want to get to here. Kathy, hold on for 1 second. We got Christy from Antioch. Christy, hi. You're on WGN. How are you tonight?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
I'm great. You got a question for Mark?
I just want to see if he can read my mind by his voice.
By my voice?
By his voice.
I'm sorry, by my voice.
Well, here's the deal. I did Behind the Curtain podcast with Paul, four months ago, and what I told Paul at that time is I can't do it over there, I gotta do it in person. So that was actually one of the reasons he brought me in tonight, is because I wanted to try something on air, but in person with him.
We can
it's really helpful to see and verify and do those things. I hope that's fine.
Is there something I can tell you over the air?
Well,
you could read my mind.
The other thing here is as I said at the beginning, I'm not psychic. I'm not really reading minds. Important distinction between maybe me and a person who claims psychic abilities. And so I feel like that is my out in these situations. I'm just an entertainer. So it's helpful to see people and know what they think. And this is always the most excruciating thing to me, because people really want me to read their mind. But I am totally happy dying on the hill of no supernatural ability whatsoever.
But I can tell Chris.
What can you do with it? What can we do with Christy?
Come on, do something. something, buddy.
Do something.
Am I in a good mood? Did I just wake up from a cat nap in a bad mood?
Well, here, I'll show
you options.
What kind of phone do you use?
Apple iPhone.
You use an iPhone. Do you use a passcode on your phone?
Do I use what?
Do you use a passcode?
Yes.
4 digits or 6 digits?
4.
Four. Okay, me as well. I'm showing the guys in the studio my phone.
I can confirm.
Okay, yep. So it is far easier, Kathy, for me to send you a thought, because this is me sending, and I know that X number of people in the population are more suggestible to these sorts of things than for me to try to pick up on who you are as an individual, if that makes sense. So I'm going to send you my thought and see if maybe you can guess. I will show the guys in the studio it is not this. It's right. Not all fives. It's not down the middle. Anything like that, right? It's none of these things. It's very important. Eric, I'm going to give you my phone here.
All right.
And that way you've got it and you're typing in. But, you know, you can hold up so I can see and make sure we're on the same page here.
Right.
Kathy, you use 4 digits. I promise it's not your passcode on my phone. Okay.
Christy.
Sorry.
There's a Kathy waiting. But
yeah, I said it 4 times and you waited till then. Christy, sorry about that. Christy, I will try to communicate my passcode to you. And Eric's holding my phone. I don't know why I'm trusting him with this, but he has my phone. So clear your mind of everything. I will try to put my number in your mind 1 digit at a time, right? So 0 to 9 right now. Listen when I snap and then just say the first number that pops in your head. Ready?
Yep.
What number?
1. 1.
Type in a 1, Eric. You got it? Show me 1 number in, yeah? Let's do it again. Let's do the second number there. Ready? Go.
Okay, you tell me what the number is.
No, Christy,
I know what my password is.
He knows his password. You got to tell us.
1.
Another 1. It won't be all 1s, I promise.
Okay.
Eric, actually, what's the third number? What do you think it is?
I'm going to say 9.
Type that in. Were you going to say that, Christy?
Nope.
Okay, delete 0. It. Delete it. Okay. Delete it. Yeah, what were you going to say?
0. 0.
Okay, that's actually close. So type in a 0. Show me you got 3 numbers in, right?
Yep.
You delete it and put in 0 for
yes,
Christy.
I did.
Okay.
Yep.
So here's the deal. If this works now, you were able to pick it all up. And I was really trying to be fair there and let Eric get in on it, but you did not want to go with his number. We'll go with yours.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No. I wanted to go with yours. I wanted to go with your choice. If you get this last number, the guys will freak out. You'll know that you guessed my passcode. And I will tell you, Christy, this is not just in the radio. I do this as part of my show every Wednesday over in the park. Last number, whatever pops in your mind, and this is on radio, so I'm going to change my passcode 10 minutes from now. What's the last number on my passcode? Turn it so I can see this last one, Eric. What's the last one, Christy?
5.
Type that in so I can see.
Oh my God. I'm not even joking. It did. I could.
It opened his phone.
You're
it
opened.
That is incredible.
Christy, you are very talented. Congratulations.
Unbelievable.
You see that? He proved it to you. You could guess him. And he showed it to you. Mark Toland, your fantastic Chicago Theater Award. You can catch him at the Greenhouse Theater only 2 more times, October 24th and Halloween. Those are Wednesday nights. Get on his mailing list. That's how you'll know what he's doing. Mark Toland, Mark with a K, Toland.com. Okay. You're just amazing. Christy,
unbelievable.
Thank you.
Christy, thanks for calling. I really appreciate
it. Did you really type in 1105?
I swear to God.
Yeah, absolutely. He really did.
I really
watching.
Did.
He did.
I mean, that's incredible.
God.
Christy, you tell all your friends.
I shall.
All right. Thanks for calling.
I'm going to call you back, Christy, get your ATM code. All right, go ahead.
All right. We are going to head to break, and then we'll get some news. We'll be right back. Producer Tom Hush going with the UB40 version of this song. Excellent choice.
It's an age thing.
Welcome back. My name is Eric Rung. I am with Paul Lisnick, and we are closing in on our last half hour of the show here, so we decided that it was...
To drink.
It was time to drink.
Yeah. You know, I just thought wine tasting would be so much fun, Eric, to try, but here's the thing. It's not about... We've got some wines here we're going to taste. I had to do this in the last segment, of course, because... But I thought, you know what? Holiday times are upon us, and people want to know what goes with what kind of wines they should be drinking. And the other thing is, and you know, notice this because, you know, sometimes we want to be able to talk about wine and sound intelligent. So I actually picked a couple of wines tonight that we'll taste with our expert. I tried to pick something I thought would be different and new for you, Eric. And I knew once I picked something that wasn't in a box, I was probably meeting that standard.
Or a can.
Or a I can. But hey, let me introduce our expert. His name is Charles Stanfield. He's been doing this stuff for 40 years. If you ever a fan of Sam's in the city, you know Sam's.
Sure.
Oh my God. Well, this was the go-to guy. That's how I met him. I went in there once, had some questions, then went, this is the guy you have to talk to. Talk about practical knowledge. He likes to say wine is his vocation, but champagne is his wife. He has been honored for his introduction for South African wines, for in Italy, in France. He's been knighted. I can go on and on. He's a senior panelist at Chicago's Beverage Tasting Institute. There's nothing this man doesn't know about wine and champagne. So I thought, let's learn, and maybe people have questions for him.
Absolutely, yeah. And if you have a question for Charles, you can give us a call, 312-981-7200. We'll take all of your wine questions. Charles, how are you, my friend?
Very good. And big day today. All my grandkids were by.
This is your birthday.
Yeah.
I saw that on Facebook. Happy birthday, Charles.
I thought you read his mind.
Let's drink to that.
Perfect. I thought you read his mind. Unbelievable.
So, Charles, I got it. So, all right. So, we have in front of us, we have a white wine and a red wine. The white wine, as I said, I picked some cool stuff for Eric. You brought some wine, too, Charles, which we appreciate. Celebrate your birthday. But the white wine is a South African Sauvignon Blanc. Oh, we're not drinking that yet. We're drinking the one you brought. So, tell us about that one.
We're starting off with a Pinot Gris, and it's from the Alsace region of France that borders Switzerland and Germany. So you'll get even though it's French wine, you get a lot of dramatic names like Zinumbricht, Trembach, the Stoffit, things like that. And the
kind of things we say every day.
Yeah, yeah, well. but the Pinot Gris is the same thing as Pinot Grigio, same varietal. And in Germany, it's Grauburgunder. But you'll notice with the Pinot Gris from the Alsace, a little fuller fruit, a little more, a slight hints of spice, deeper minerality. But if you drink Pinot Grigio from, say, Italy, it's going to be lighter, crisper, a little higher acid.
Can I just ask you, these white wines we brought, they had screw tops on them. So, again, Eric was comfortable with the screw top, but reminded him of home.
Hey, who do you think uncorked the red?
Yeah, that's a good point. You did. You had the strength to do it. But is that like bad, a screw top as opposed to a cork?
You'll get two schools of this. You'll get your entrenched wine knobs who just have to find a reason to say, well, the wine was corked.
That's me. Don't like yes,
it.
I like that.
But the screw, you can't fight technology. And I grew up, I wasn't born into wine. In fact, you know, we were drinking bricks of wild Irish rose and white port and Kool-Aid, shake and bake, as we called it. And lemon Kool-Aid.
Hey, never there mind. You go.
It's not, it gets you there, and that's the important thing. All of them had a screw-off cap. Now, if you think of the millions of bottles that had screw-off caps, no one died from it. They all lived. And when the modern name for the screw-off cap, they call it the stove enclosure, which is
sounds better than screw-off cap.
Really?
Well, it is what it is.
Sure.
But it works. And it, for me, I'm with technology. And a friend of mine came. It's going to be brief because you have time constraints. A friend of mine who within the wine industry, I taught him English. He was from France. And he had came back to America and took me to dinner. And I bought an Australian Shiraz, and he bought a French Bordeaux to dinner. And we were talking about closures. And he says, but a great wine deserves a cork. And he's going on and on about it. And mine had a synthetic cork. And when we opened mine, we drank mine, and it was good. We pulled the cork on his, and it was corked.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, pluses and minuses.
Yeah.
Sure.
Eric, well, I know at Christmas time, like, you want to be able to talk about
this. Yeah, I mean, everybody wants a good way to talk about wine, a way that, you know, it sounds like you know what you're talking about,
right?
When you don't. When
you don't.
Well, just some things that we should really be looking for, some things, some words, some vocabulary.
You got two kinds of people who know, people who act like they know.
Right.
Or like a
Paul's one of the ones that acts like
meet,
he knows.
Meet the two that I'll put us both in that category.
Yeah, I know, right?
Paul the gunslinger. Don't let him. Don't let him. See, you get the person that says, "Oh, I said, what kind of wine was the last wine you had?" And they say, "Oh, it's big and buttery and full and fleshy."
That's a Chardonnay.
And I say, "What did you have?" And they say, "It's Pinot Grigio." Now, none of this happened because most of Pinot Grigio are tank aged. They're not buttery at all. They're just throwing out words to sound impressive.
Right.
Keep it simple when you taste the wine.
What does it mean when you say it has legs? Everybody loves saying legs.
The color that runs down the glass, legs. These terms. you grit your teeth. Sometimes you're going to break out a window. The key thing is keeping it simple. Keeping it like when they say, are you a sommelier? I kind of reject that term because it's, they're not all bad. They're not all good. But we want to enjoy wine. We want to make wine friendly. You got to remember, the United States is really just now getting a wine culture. Europe has a wine culture. North America, Argentina, Chile, they had a wine culture. We're just getting one. We're a beer and whiskey culture, and we're getting into wine.
I love bourbon
more now.
And aren't there grapes that were? I know
I'm Italian, so I mean, I gotta love wine.
Grapes like a Malbec used to be a mixing grape, or Charbono, which is the red that we're drinking. Most people haven't even heard of that grape.
Well, again, they haven't heard of it because they get locked into the usual varietals: Cabernet, Merlot, Zinfandel, and the odious Pinot Noir. Yeah. I don't hate Pinot. I just don't get it.
Okay.
I just don't.
We didn't bring it.
Well, there's a lot that I don't get about wine.
These people are having religious ecstasies over it.
Right.
Oh, it's the greatest. Oh, and they're floating in there. And I'll tell you this. Yeah. Now, a lot of the French Pinot Noir, red burgundies, I'm into those wholeheartedly. But I'm not going to beat up. I've learned to enjoy more. I have.
True. Charles, we got to hit a break here. But when we come back, how about we talk about some of the wines that you like? Maybe some reasonably priced wines.
And maybe pairings for Christmas. Like, what goes with what?
Absolutely. Great.
Right?
Great idea. How does that sound?
Hey, we can go.
What goes with the candy bar that Eric is eating for dinner?
Oh, God. I probably go with a late harvest.
a late harvest. It's got legs. It's got legs.
I got a popcorn ball.
All right. We'll be right back on 720 WGN.
Cheers.
Well, I got to get drunk and I sure do dread it, cause I know just what I'm gonna do. Start spending my money, call everybody honey, and wind up singing the blues. I'll spend my whole paycheck on some old wreck, and brother, I can name you a few. Well, I gotta get drunk and I sure do dread it, cause I know just what I'm gonna do.
All right, welcome back. 720 WGN. I'm Eric Rung with Paul Lisnick.
And that's an end of show song, isn't it?
We are talking with Charles Stanfield. He is a wine expert. And Charles, as we head into the holiday season here, I'm going to throw you two questions here. One is going to be, give me a good idea of some reasonably priced wines and what people should be looking for. You don't need to spend $100 on a bottle of wine, right?
No, you certainly don't, but it certain things are a purpose pitch. Like, I know Paul's coming over. Paul enjoys a nice bottle of wine. I don't mind spending more because he's going to appreciate it. I don't know about other people what they like, so I'll keep it comfortable to what they've told me what they enjoy and go from there, because while I'm spending $70 on a bottle for Paul and I to enjoy, they're not getting that.
you can find good wine.
I've been doing this for a long time, and when I shop, I would try to keep my personal shopping for everyday use from $8.99 to maybe $18.99, $20. You don't have to really go more. Be adventurous. Try some new things.
I think the best wine is the kind of wine you like. Right? Yeah. It doesn't matter how much it costs.
If you don't know about the wine, that's the key thing. And don't let somebody, a consultant at a store, give you something. Explain to you what you like, what your taste profile is, and go from there.
What about the ratings? We all, things that are rated 92 points, 96 points. Do we care about that?
Every taste a point.
I don't even know what the point is, right?
People get all hooked up with points, and they'll come in and they'll say, this $10 wine got 98 points. And of course, it's going to be gone. And so you're going to lock your beliefs on a point system. I mean, it's cool. I mean, I'm going to tell you where to pray, man. If you believe in it, you believe in it.
I have to ask you this. I also know, traditionally, if you're going to have steak or beef, you're going to drink a red wine. If you're going to have usually pork or fish or something, or maybe chicken, it's a white wine. So if I go to a luncheon, I'm always intrigued when a waiter comes over, a server, and says, would you like white or red? And I say, well, what are we having for lunch or dinner? Because that dictates it. Should it dictate, or is that just old thinking?
It's old thinking. Like, if I'm having a good roast chicken, I don't mind having a red, a young Bordeaux or a Gamay. It doesn't always have to be white. Sometimes if you're having pasta, you'll get the anti-pasta people. Not anti-pasta, I'm sorry. Anti-red wine people who have a little bit fuller wine, like a Viognier or something like that. I'm not saying that this is what you should do. I'm just saying if it feels good to you.
It feels good, do it.
Well, in theory, I mean, you can live by a lot of rigid, hard rules.
That's no fun.
But you need to learn more. You need to relax and experience more wines. It's a big world out there.
Should we pay attention to region? So I also brought a Sauvignon Blanc from South Africa, and I know you. I mean, you are an expert in South African wines, and that wasn't a place one would buy wine 20 years ago.
Well, they had apartheid 20 years ago.
Well, yeah, that's one reason they didn't buy it. Yeah,
but they were making wine before we were even a country. Mm. And they have a lot of influences there. They have French influence, German influence, Dutch influence. So you have so many things going on in what they do in South Africa. They make some of the best wines in the world. And their reds are some of the best I've tasted. Yeah. Their Chardonnays are some of the best. I put them up against anything in California. Their Sauvignon Blancs are wonderful. The first time I went to South Africa, I was really intimidated because it was just after apartheid, and I'm a little opinionated sometimes, but it worked out nicely, and I love South Africa very, very much.
Great country.
And Charles, we were kind of joking before about, oh, this has a full body taste, and yes, I feel terrible.
Huge hits of peach and pear.
Right. But there is something to tasting wine, which when we do taste wine, and we don't want to sound like a snob that doesn't know what they're talking about, what are we really looking for when we have a sip of wine?
Again, the tongue only knows four flavors: sweet, sour, salty, and bitter. I don't go with that umami stuff. You know, it's, no. Mm-hmm. Uh-uh. But when you taste wine, you have to open your mind up to the senses, the things that you've tasted, and apply them to this. I mean, some wines will have a tropical fruit feel to them. Some wines are very pungent. Some wines, you'll say, almost leathery. And you're not wrong to say these things if they apply to what you drink. But when people, again, when they say words that apply more to the humans, like it's an unctuous wine. No, it's not. It's wine. It can't be unctuous. It's a human quality.
Is there, when you go to somebody's house for a party, you want to bring a bottle of wine, would you say, I mean, is there a price point? We've already said it shouldn't matter, but when you walk in, if you're trying to impress your guests, how do you do that? Or you bring a bottle of champagne? You've been knighted from champagne.
I would, and I know they're going to get mad with my champagne, but if I go to a party and I have to, if I choose to bring a bottle, I bring something I want people to drink at the moment. Like, I'll bring a bottle of Prosecco. Prosecco is a sparkly wine that's not too dry. Mm. It's not too sweet. It's very easy to drink.
It's Italiano, too, right?
Venice. It's from Venice.
You made a great point, by the way. I hate when I bring a really nice bottle of wine to somebody, they say thank you and put it away, and they serve a bunch of crap. Oh. I can't. That is not good. Serve the wine I'm bringing.
Right.
You.
Yeah.
That's only fair. I don't like it when people do that either.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, like, if I'm being a bottle of bourbon over to somebody's house, and they're like, oh, thank you so much. And they'll put it up on the shelf. And I'm like, are you kidding me?
But is it rude? Should you say to somebody, please serve this tonight?
I'll say I brought this wine to drink.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, I'm not going to lie about it. I'm here to share this. And if I give you a gift, if I'm gifting you the wine, you do what your conscience will bear. But if I'm bringing it as a part of the party, hey, bust it out. Let's have some fun.
Absolutely.
I say cheers to Charles Stanfield.
All right.
Very happy birthday, my friend.
One thing before we close?
Sure.
You got a lot of good resources in Chicago outside of the big places. Perman Wine Selections on Howe in Chicago. Rayon's Fine Wine and Spirits. And my friend Rashid Islam is the wine director. You have Joe's Wine Cellar on Division Street, Phil Bernstein.
Now, Terry, for the sake of time, we'll get that list from you and we'll post it. We'll get it up so people can check it out.
Great idea. Right.
Okay.
We got to hit a break, Charles. Thank you so much for all of your insight into wine. Paul and I are going to keep drinking. You're welcome to drink with us. But right now, we're going to go to commercial. We'll be right back.